I'm Pat. I'm an alcoholic. Okay. I actually had no idea how I was going to start off, what I was going to say, so let me just get right into the book. So, again, I don't really touch the book with my sponsees until we're around, like, 8 or 9. So, and what I would do is explain to them the directions of 10, 11, and 12, and how to keep a maintenance program, how to qualify somebody, and how to work with a wet drunk, some of the sections to wives, and all the back chapters, and explain to them parts of that that could also help in the whole sponsorship role. Take them through all that, some promises in the vision for you, and some stuff about faith in the vision for you. Then take them back through the book from the preference on, and by that point they would have experience. Well, I do that because when I go back to Bill W., Bill's story, I originally didn't like taking people through the book. Not take people through the book, but take them to Bill's story because it's just another qualification, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's all. So I didn't see any reason to do it. But then it was explained to me when I started speaking at a lot of detoxes and noticed how I was kind of all over the place when I shared my story. The first thing I was told to do is read Bill's story because it's a perfect diagram on how you should speak when you qualify, you know, and share your experience, strength, and hope. Then going back to the rest of the book, now they have an experience with all the rest of the steps, you know, and it's not really a process of explaining them what the book is talking about. It's more of a process of how could you relate to this, you know, at that point. I'm not going to get into the fourth step immediately. I want to point something really important out before I get there. Just if you could turn to page 58 to how it works. And I'm just here to read the first paragraph. I'm about to jump around all over the book real quick. Give me a second. But, so the first paragraph of chapter 5, how it works. Rarely have we seen a person who has failed to thoroughly follow our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not give themselves completely to give themselves to the simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. They are such unfortunates, they are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. Okay, this is the part I'm getting to. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Okay, point one. All right, I have the study guide edition or whatever it's called, the first 164, but if you know where the spiritual appendix is, in the back of the book, please turn to that. And then just turn to the back of the page. Okay. I wasn't sure if I wanted to read that one, but most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance and belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of this program. Willingness, honesty, open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. Okay, so again, now that I'm bringing up honesty again, but now I'm also bringing up willingness and open-mindedness. You know, the first three principles of our steps. Now, going back to how it works, on page 60, A, B, and C. You know, our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we're alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could relieve us of our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. Why do I point that out? So, I do not take my sponsees through the preference to, well, how it works. So, you are, like, when I work with you, you honestly don't have to get with these A, B, and C and how it's defined. But what are they really saying here? You know, A, it's talking about step one. B, it's talking about the first half of step two. And C, it's talking about the second half of what you got to understand about step two. But let's see what principles they're talking about. That we are alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. Honesty. B, that probably no human power could relieve us of our alcoholism. Open-mindedness. C, that God could and would if he were sought. Willingness. So honestly, what I come to find is that as long as you're at that point, and honestly, it can't be in your head, and I don't know what lengths you're going to go to get this, and how willing you are, and how beaten down you are. If you've had a first step experience, if you're completely with this idea that you're not only that you're alcoholic, you cannot manage your own life, and a life ran on self-will isn't a life willing at all, I can't tell you if you're at that point, no matter what I do to test your willingness, but I will test your willingness in the extent of asking what you're going to have to do. You know, if you're going to work with me. And I'm going to ask you, number one rule with me, I will never ask you to go to any lengths I've never gone. That sucks, though, because I've pushed myself to go to greater and greater lengths to tell people to do. And if I cannot tell you to do that because I haven't done that, I sure as hell will find somebody in my network that has. You know. So with that said, before getting into the fourth step, you know, if I could make an emphasis on this, this is all about honesty. Because, you know, I don't remember what part of the fourth step it starts talking about it, but it's like this is our inventory. There's no wrong answers. You know, this is like, it could be, my first fourth step was chicken scratch compared to the crazy ways of going through the work. You know, I've done extended fourth column, I've done an extended third and fourth column since then, but as long as I make that initial effort to do the work, because honestly, finishing my fourth step was the first time like I actually made a commitment to something, and eventually, and at some point, followed through. You know, as an alcoholic, I couldn't even call my sponsor a sponsor until like in the middle of doing the work, because I was so bad at keeping my word to commitment that if I was to call my sponsor, I would have fell off immediately. All right, so, and then it's also seeing the patterns of what they describe, you know, the directions of the four steps. So, I'm not sure how to necessarily describe how. This would be kind of a combination of like just describing how I do a four step, and I'm gonna go all the way to nine. I really want to just go all the way to eight today, but honestly, that's like, because I want like steps one, two, and three we could honestly do on our couch. You know, you don't, like, you know, besides the fact you hit your knees, steps 4 through 8, you really could just sit at a kitchen table and finish it. And 9 on is really those action steps where you leave the house and actually do something. But I'll pull through with 9 today just for the sake of, I don't know, whatever. So, you know, we hit our knees. And I give them the first direction to write. You know, just come back with at least 10 to 15 resentments. And you could add more. I really don't care. But come to me with just that, and we'll get started. Why do I say that? I think I did the math of the kids who, out of all the kids I've qualified, you know, and offered the sponsor with them, did a third step prayer, and came back with names of resentments. On average, like, and there's outliers across the board. This is not that accurate at all. But on average, their day count consists, when coming back with that resentment list, of like 39, 40 days. You know, so I'm usually working with guys in early recovery that are still pretty burnt. You know, and the total outliers, I would say it's leaned more towards guys that have had 4 months, or guys that have had less than 30 days. You know, so you're going to, and really, that's why I asked 10 to 15, because I'll see how burnt they are by how long their list is. I mean, honestly, they come back with 8, they're probably pretty burnt and can't even think straight. And honestly, if you're not burnt, you're going to probably come with me like 30 names, 40 names, you know, because you can think of it. But that, you know, it's, again, we directly go into the work. I give them the 4-step direction. Give me the names, let me see you're willing, and when you've got those names and you're willing to start the work, come back to me. Yeah, which many... Okay, so continuing on to page 64. Though our decision is vital and crucial step, it could be little permanent effect unless once followed by strenuous effort to face and get rid of the things ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. So, to a sense, that's almost a promise. You know, as you do that third step prayer, you hit your knees and you put no action behind it, you're going to get nothing out of it. You're going to get absolutely none of the results. So with that said, like it says throughout the rest of this book, faith without works is dead. I really don't want to go paragraph by paragraph by this, but... therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step four, a business of taking no regular inventory. Goes broke. Fact-finding, fact-facing. You know, we're looking for the truth. Okay, down here. One object is to disclose damage or unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure. Being convinced that self, manifested in various ways, had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. I would love to ask Dave this one, because I'm not totally sure on the answer for this, but I was asked this actually the past couple days. But I was asked, why a resentment, why a fear inventory, and why a sex inventory? You know, honestly, what I believe is probably not the right answer. I'm just going to say this is more opinion-based, but what I would assume is that when they were first writing this book with the hundreds and hundreds of alcoholics they worked with, they kind of took note what sent them out. You know, and continuing on, resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stems all forms of spiritual disease, for we've not been only mentally and physically ill, we've been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we strain out mentally and physically. All right, so get in the fourth step. You know how I do my fourth step at this point. In dealing with these resentments, we set them down on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we have been, who we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry at them. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem. Hold up on that. So, I mean, my first inventory for anybody that like was a real big book thumper out there. My first inventory was basically how it was outlined by Joe and Charlie. You know, the four columns, just and kind of like the third column, fourth column, is just plug in, you know. You know, my first inventory kind of looked like, you know, first column, you know, me, second column, why I had that resentment, third column, I would go down seven options, you know, pride, self-esteem, personal relations, sexual relations, security, ambitions, fear, pocketbook. So, seven plus fear. Where was I going with that? I honestly, you know, I actually took note of this from what you pointed out a couple months ago, is that I used to try to define third column in the seven areas of self to my sponsees, and they had absolutely no idea what I was talking about. Mm. So at this point, I let them, just so they know what, when they're plugging in to that column, like the seven areas of self, I just let them define it as what they think it is, because it just causes less confusion and moves things on, so that when we get to the fifth step, we know what we're talking about. Okay, yeah, bottom of page 65, we went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. Again, going back to honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us, and we stayed sore. Sometimes it is remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seems to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. I will honestly, if my sponsees are totally... I will not prod my sponsees to do a damn thing, but I will gladly sit down with them in a 3 or 5 hour session and go through 4 and 5 with them in one day, because that's how I did it. My first 4-step took 5 hours. You know, he set me up, didn't do it. I balked on it for 30 days till I snapped, finally told him, you know, I'm ready, and I just kept calling him on the phone, what's the next direction? You know, that's how I did it. You know, other people do it differently. People probably wouldn't do that at sponsors, some people. I got my first one done, and I'll gladly go inventory by inventory, and then, like, but I will ask them, like, would you want to continue? It's yes or no. You know, if you don't, okay, let's meet up another time and continue. If you want to keep writing on your own, please keep writing on your own. You know, but I don't want to, my fear as a sponsor, I don't want to play God. You know, I don't want to be the one to tell you, like, you have to write over 100 resentments. Because honestly, even with 15 resentments or 10 resentments, you will see a pattern, from my experience, between the 4th and the 5th step. You know, I don't want to be like, I don't know. I don't know how else to say it. It's just, I don't want to play God. I don't want to be the one to tell, be the righteous one to tell you what's right and what's wrong. Because again, this is your inventory. You know, and with that concept of honesty, it's like, also point out, this is my thing with honesty. So there's a spectrum called reality, right? And then there's this little pivot point called honesty. You know, and so, and as we continue throughout life and take inventory, we may get closer to reality. We will never hit that point where we're totally in reality because of our own perspective. But, you know, mattering on where we are and how honest we got, like, dude, coming in, like, 20, 30 days, you can only get so honest. You're only going to think of so many people you resent. And we can go back and take inventory on that. And I know all these other thorough therapeutic ways of going through the work and coming to peace with some of this stuff. You know, it's like, you just it's all about making that effort to actually doing it, getting it done, and doing a 5th step with it, and just practicing being honest. You know, even, no matter, it could be 3 resentments, man. Just going 4th and getting it done is all that matters. Futility, unhappiness, precise extent. I don't know if I want to touch on that. I will touch on this. So it's like, I'm probably going to miss a lot of stuff throughout speaking because I'm trying to get through all of it. Mm-hmm. So we are only on the 3rd column, and here's a promise. On the bottom of the kind of the last full paragraph on page 66, we begin to see that the world and its people really dominated us. You know, and that's what you usually get is that, you know, alcoholics are sensitive. You know, just like, it's so easy to let a resentment, like, and or this belief that the world's running our crap absolutely ruin our lives. You know, that's all I'll really say on that. Okay, bottom of page 66. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though, and I think it really talks about that in We Agnostics. I'm trying to think of what pages, but, you know, this is another thing that we're touching on, you know. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We asked God to help us show them the same way tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to... So again, we can always go back and take inventory, but with these next 3 inventories, they're prayers for each one to keep maintenance on the things we touched upon. So we don't become resentful towards those things again. So when we get resentful, we have a little prayer to do, and hopefully God will give us, you know, just lift the anger we have before it becomes a resentment. You know, and we'll see this with the fear inventory. There's a fear prayer. You know, We'll get to that. And then there's six ideals prayer, you know, to keep honest about the relations we're in and what part we play and how we maintain them. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, middle of page 67, the turnarounds, fourth column. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others have done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not entirely been our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we see our faults, we listed them. So this is... My current sponsor describes it as this. So we get hurt. We get a fear. Caused by that fear, a perception of reality, we create a lie, a delusion. And that delusion creates a motive. And that motive creates an action. And then we have a resentment. That's what it's been described to me. I don't necessarily go backwards that way when I get to the fourth column. It's just because it's a lot easier to see, and I don't know why. To know the logic behind it, I saw a worksheet that how it was laid out like this. It seems like it works. So it goes from selfish, what I wanted and what I didn't want it, self-seeking, the actions I took to get what I wanted, dishonest, you know, the lie I told myself and other people, the harms I have caused, you know, and what other roles I played in this, and fear, because at that point, for some reason, it's just very clear what fear motive-driven thing was driving you. I don't know. So, yeah, when we saw our faults, we listed them, we admitted our wrongs honestly, and we were willing to set these matters straight. Okay, then it gets into the fear. I'm trying to hurry up now. So, top of page 68. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them out on paper even though we had no resentment connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. All I'll say is that the original fear inventory I did was based upon the idea that, so it was originally, what was the fear? When was the first time you had that fear? What part of self failed you? And then plug in the prayer. Current inventory I'm about to teach after I do a fifth step with this current sponsor really leans towards the fact of this idea that these fears were caused because self failed us. And all he'll, pretty much the inventory that he told me to do, he directed me to do, he got it out of a separate literature, is, you know, the fear, why he had that fear, why he had that fear, why you had that fear, why he had that fear, and it makes a lot more sense when you do it in on paper, but eventually you'll get to this point where you realize it's because you self failed you, you relied on yourself, and as an alcoholic, you probably hate yourself. And, you know, in the process, it fell through. And then going to the bottom of the last full paragraph on page 68. We asked him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. At once, we commenced to outgrow fear. Again, just another plug-in prayer sort of thing. The weird thing about the fear inventory is that it really is... It's more just to identify the fear and why it's there and how it's been there. But it even says, at once we commence to outgrow fear. So it's like we begin to outgrow fear, but we don't. It's not all of a sudden we don't have that fear. You know, these fears are going to crop up, and we got to take actions to overcome those fears. You know, it's not by simply just praying them. Well, yeah, actually, we'll get to step 10. But, you know, it's like we need something greater than us to get rid of this fear. You know, we lack the ability to just let it go. Page 69, middle of the paragraph. We reviewed our sex conduct over the years past, where we've been selfish, dishonest, and considerate. Again, just... I'm trying to speed this up now. Whom we hurt? Did we just unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done better? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. So, again, we're going to look back, not necessarily sex relations, but relations of some sort of intimacy, even friendships, even family. And we're going to look back and kind of get this idea of where, you know, where we were wrong, you know, what harms we have done, and then going back and how can we change ourselves. And we're going to use that as an outline from this point forward to live that standard. You know, now, like it says right here, what should we have done instead? Okay, yeah, what should we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. In this way, we had tried to shape our sane and sound sex ideal for the future sex life. So, not necessarily sex life. Now, you could plug this in. Son, you know, friend. We subjected each relation to this test. Was it selfish or not? We ask God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. So, okay, continuing on, just to the next page, page 70. So, okay, another promise. Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble. Does this mean we are going to get drunk? Some people tell us so, but this is only a half-truth. It depends on us and our motives. If we are sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we'll be forgiven and we'll have learned our lesson. If we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink. We are not theorizing. These are facts about our experience. Promise, you know, if you start taking your will back and start running on self again, you stray away from a lot of the things we're talking. You're just now seeing in this fourth step, you know, if, from our experience, my experience included, that you will drink again, and it's true. Honestly, I've seen people stray away from meetings and isolate from their network, and I've seen them drink. I've seen people crash from having bottoms and having a lack of faith from a higher power, and again, then isolating and drinking. And I've seen people let their sex conduct go astray. They cause a lot of harms to girls, and now they start feeling self-pity, and now they're getting in over their heads, and then they drink. Okay? It's crazy, dude. My sobriety date's of March of 2016, and I already have had experience with all of these being true. You know, this is so basic alcoholic, all this stuff. All right. Mm-hmm. To sum up sex, we earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity and the strength to do the right thing. If sex is very troublesome, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We think their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. It's quite the imperious urge when to yield would mean heartache. So it's like, I do this to people, my sponsor does this, you know, going back to the 10th step, you know, I'll reach out to them when a resentment comes up, or I'm being bothered, something with my serenity, I'm fear, or I'm being selfish and self-centered, you know, I run what happened by him. He kind of helps me take an inventory on it. Did I do any harm? And then he kind of gives me some direction. But the thing is, if I keep going with that and I keep complaining about it, I'm not letting it go. All he says is, who are you helping? You know, he'll direct me just to help somebody else. And I don't know. That's the way I've been sponsored. I haven't been sponsored. At this point, my sponsorship isn't about, I'm not being told, you know, if you're having a bad day, go to a meeting and share about it. I'm being told, if you're having a bad day, go to a meeting and help a newcomer. Don't waste your time just talking about your day. That's just being a taker. Be a giver, man. Once you've had this experience that's been so freely given to you, you got to give it back. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. Okay, this is the next paragraph. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. We have commenced to see the terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct and are willing to strain out the past if we can. That is a promise. So now at this point, now finishing your fourth step, we begin to almost learn a new freedom already. You know, we now see pretty much after the third column of our resentment inventory, we pretty much got off the podium, and that's the best way to describe how I felt after doing my first fifth step, was that finally I realized I wasn't the victim. After all this time of blaming my parents, having, you know, you would drink like me for if you had an alcoholic father and mother, you would drink like me after, you know, if you were bullied in elementary school, it was all crap. It was all excuses and lies I was really just telling myself to justify my actions. And by finally finishing a fourth step and doing a fifth step, I finally got off the podium. Or a soapbox, excuse me. Last couple of lines on page 71. If you had already made a decision and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you have made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. And that feeling I would describe as, you know, some people really get that experience and really, really feel something as they go through the process of the fourth step. But then you get some people that are... As a guy in my home group describes, it's kind of like taking the shell off the turtle. You know what I mean? Because they've gone honest about things that they probably never thought about. They're probably feeling remorse for people they've thought they'd never forgive. You know, now they're feeling guilty on what part they played. You know, people that have really harmed them. And I mean, like, you know, I've worked with guys that were abandoned as kids. I'm more talking about sexually abused. Like, I mean, these people that really have harmed them, but now finally they're seeing, like, wow, I'm not the victim. Even if, like, again, talking about it earlier, even if they had a big part in it, you know, we're now finally seeing what part we played. So, in the action, page 72. Having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. I'm not going to attempt it. In our rough way, what the trouble is, we have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapters. Okay, middle of the next paragraph. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary appraisal insufficient. So even though we have learned so much, most likely learned so much from our fourth step, that's not enough. The best reason first, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Another promise. If I don't get to a fifth step, you know, even after writing this inventory, you know, chances are I'll drink, you know. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. So again, going back to honesty, you know, we got to get totally honest at this point. And what I find is if you go into this process with the intentions of not being totally honest, what I find is that at some point you're gonna come across a resentment, you're gonna come across an amends, you're gonna come across this idea of being complacent and not sponsoring people or not working steps 10 and 11, and you're gonna take your will back because you weren't totally in from the start. Because if at some point along the line, if you're not totally honest with the fact that of get giving yourself up to this program and finding this power, because clearly a life ran on self-will isn't a life worth living at all. At some point, you're not going to like something you're being told or something that you have to do because you think you have power. You know, that's it. I'm trying to think anything else to point out here. I'm just going to go with what's highlighted because I'm trying to get this done. Page 75, when we decided who is to hear our story, we wasted no time. We have written an inventory and we are prepared for a long talk. We explained to our partner what we are about to do and why we have done it. You should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approach in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. Again, so, but between my first and my second four-step, you know, I dumped a lot of things out on the table I didn't think I'd ever say to anybody. Things I was going to take to the grave, and it was very relieving. It was an awesome experience. People think, because people were scared because it was like, because, you know, my thing with my sponsor was that if I'm going to be judged, I better be judged out of love. You know, I needed to know my first sponsor was pretty much alcoholic. You know, it was my type of sick.
Thank you so much.
And if I'm going to be called out on something, it's with the understanding that he's doing it with absolutely no intentions, like he's not getting paid for, you know, any here in this fifth step. You know, he's doing this out of the kindness of his heart, and he will, you know, he will forgive me, basically. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of our past. Once we have taken this step withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. That was my experience to a T. I know a lot of people that can't relate to that experience from doing a fourth and a fifth step, but I was holding on to a lot of old ideas. I was holding on to a lot of secrets. You know, I was unwilling to forgive a lot of people, but after doing a fourth and a fifth step, I felt remorse for those people. You know, I clearly saw it, not, despite the fact that they may have done me wrong, and going into the amends, I may have held on to that idea, but I clearly saw I've done wrongs, and I have to clean my side of the street. And I was willing to do it. Okay, bottom of page 75, carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an ark through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into our foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? Again, have we been totally honest with these first five steps? Are we totally with everything we have done? Have we been totally honest up until this point? Weird six-step story. So, I'm really Irish. Like, I'm absolutely, like there's people that were at my 1997 baptism that weren't allowed into the country until that year because the United States looked upon them as terrorists. Like, I am, like, Irish Catholic, like, IRA, all that. So, literally a week after getting, like, doing a fifth step and now actually getting sober, I went to this 100-year anniversary of the 1916 uprising out in Queens, in this neighborhood I grew up in, this Irish part of Queens. And this guy, Stephen McDonald, was there, and he was like, dude, this guy was an alcoholic, but he was walking with the peace and spirituality. I just don't understand. Because he was an ex-New York cop. He was in the neighborhood, and he got shot by two kids from the neighborhood, and he was quadriplegic, and he had to be on a breathing ventilator the rest of his life. And he went to both those kids and forgave them. Yeah, there's something I don't understand how anybody, like, just Well, the point is that I started talking to this guy, and he was talking about something I could totally relate to, which was like this idea of like resentment and holding on to anger and holding on to fear. And he was talking about forgiveness and what he really just, and he finally said, you know, the exact opposite of resentment is forgiveness. So now turning to page 76 and getting into the sixth step. I mean, I know with one of the inventories I did, it really tries to list all the character defects. And I've seen worksheets with the sixth step. You know how you get character defects and you flip them to the opposite. But honestly, the big book gives you three right off the top of the top. Is that resentment, fear, and not necessarily sex relations, but whatever, like, what I could describe as just being a taker. And what's the opposite of both of them? So I just described being the opposite of resentment is forgiveness, the opposite of fear is faith, and the opposite of being a taker is being a giver. And what I will say is that now it's step six going into step seven. What's going to happen is that at step seven, you're going to be willing to be to humble yourself and continue on this process to better yourself. And at 8 and 9, you're going to become willing to make these amends to these people you thought you'd never make amends to, the people that you think aren't willing to forgive you. And you're going to, by making those amends and going to any lengths to stay sober and make restitution to people you've harmed, you are going to get these 9-step promises. And at those 9-step promises, you're going to find a new freedom and a new happiness, and naturally you're going to gain confidence. And then by working steps 10 and 11, you're going to continue to expand your relationship with the higher power and continue to take inventory and to live this maintenance program where you're walking hand in hand with the Creator no matter what, through the good times, through the bad times. You're going to sponsor people, and you're going to hear fifth steps, and you're going to see people that are just you, the people completely different than you, but you're type of sick, and they're you. And you're going to gain confidence through that, and naturally by going through the rest of the step work, you are going to grow faith. You know, you will become a lot, like, especially when hearing your first fifth step, especially making that one amends you never were going to make, you know, you're naturally going to gain confidence, and you will naturally gain faith. And like, and as far as not being a taker and being a giver in every relationship and aspect of my life, it's like all of this is a work in progress. I mean, I'll save that for one next week. But Mike, so now going to the sixth step, if we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step six. We have emphasized willingness as a being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. I feel like if you were utterly honest, never mind, I'm just going to continue. So now moving on to step seven, we were ready. We say something like this: My Creator, I am now willing you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out to here to do your bidding. Amen. Now reemphasizing. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Again, faith without works is dead. You know, let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damages we had done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which accumulate out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we could go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Okay, so up until at this point with 8 and 9, I'm trying to think. Just a quickly glance over it. So on the bottom of page 76, to some people we need not and probably not should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. When I make an amends, I really try. I try to be vague about the damage I done, but I try to be very descriptive about my alcoholism, you know, and how selfish and self-centered I was, and that's just the nature of the beast. Yeah, I'm just going by whatever I highlighted at this point. Page 77 on the bottom. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manners is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. I've been lucky. I've had all sorts of results from amends, and almost all of them I didn't expect. Did I tell my story about the whole Dyfus thing last week? So, I got in a fight with my parents back in sixth grade, and despite them, I called Dyfus on them. I went to my guidance counselor and complained, and Dyfus was called. I didn't realize how serious Dyfus was, so I went back to the Dyfus counselor, and I lied to the Dyfus counselor saying that the guidance counselor, the principal, and the vice principal put me up to it. You know, and then we proceeded to try to get all three of them fired.
Wow.
Why do I bring that up? So I actually just made amends to the vice principal. And it was short, quick, to the point. And, you know, the reality was it was a quick event. I didn't really have a relation much prior and after that. So at that instance, I didn't really deal with them back in elementary school. So it was like, just keep doing what you're doing. On the other hand, I've been called an asshole by making amends. I've been called like you were a prick and you didn't give me any love. But I got a result. By me taking the actions and cleaning my side of the street, you know, I get the results of having that satisfaction that I went to any lengths to get, you know, to make things right. One sentence, 78, most alcoholics owe money. All I say to that from my experience is that I paid back a girl I never met before, and I paid her a large sum of money. I went to a party once. I stole over $300 from her purse. And I didn't even know whose it was. So when I was going around trying to make restitution, I reached out to one girl who I thought it was. She reached out to her friend who it was their money. She screenshotted the message I sent her. And then the girl I actually took the money from reached out to me over Facebook. And I was willing to make that amends. And it was just, she ended up coming over to my house and I paid her back plus interest. And the interest was 1% for every month I didn't pay that money back. You know, and that's just my thing. Bottom of page 78, well, the last paragraph on page 78. Perhaps we have committed a criminal offense which might land us in jail if it were known to authorities. Again, I wouldn't tell anybody to make an amends I've not made, but it's funny, it's like coming into the rooms, it's like you're almost like ecstatic your first year of not going to rehab or jail. It's like an accomplishment, the fact you didn't get held accountable for your using. But it's like then after doing the step work, I got to this point where it's like, I was ecstatic that, oh man, I'm sober now and I'm recovered. I never have to go back to jail or whatever. At this point, I've come to terms that with some of the things I've done, I probably will go back to jail. If circumstances, kind of the perfect storm arises, that there may be a circumstance one day in my life, I will have to go back to jail and I'll be sober. You know, these are some of the things I've had to come to peace with. And be willing to do, again, willing to go to any lengths. Page 79, middle paragraph. Usually, however, other people are involved. Therefore, we are not to be the hasty or foolish martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit. A man we know had remarried because of resentment and drinking. He had not paid alimony to his first wife. Two parts to that. I've definitely jumped the gun with some amends. I've definitely done amends wrong, and I've caused harm in the process of those amends, and I have not been able to remake amends. Probably better if I don't, unless God puts them in my path to make them. But it's very important with 8. I know people say it's just a list, but it's like, it's very important to be as thorough as possible, because it, more likely than not, there's some amends that you're putting on there that you probably aren't amends. They're probably you trying to people please a situation and manipulate a situation. Like, where it's not necessarily you owe an amends, it's more the factor of that you want to just say sorry for something you may or may not have actually done. So I like 8 in necessarily the sense of that. You get to sit down with the sponsor. It's very important to really run every amends by your sponsor. You know, and understand the harms you've done and what lengths you're willing to go to make that amends, if you're even willing to go to lengths in which you probably shouldn't make that amends. Yeah, bottom of here. We suggested he write his first wife admitting his faults and asking forgiveness. I've had to write letters before. I got in a fight with a kid. He's mentally unstable at the position I was in to reach out to him, to the point where it probably would have caused more harm to actually talk to the kid in person. So I actually wrote a letter to his household, you know, even though he lives like 3 blocks away from my house. Wrote a letter, packaged it, you know, put a stamp on it and mailed it, you know. Next page. Page 80, that second paragraph. This brings to mind a story about one of our friends. While drinking, he accepts a sum of money. Bitterly hated business rival, giving him no receipt for it. He subsequently denied having received the money and used the incident as a bias for discrediting the man. He thus used his own wrongdoing as a means of destroying his reputation of another. In fact, his rival was ruined. What time do I have? Yeah, it's like 7:30. This is a good place to stop. I'm going to save 9 for next week. I'm just going over some amends, but there's some... I want to really talk about the structure of how I make amends. You know, and what a script looks like for an amends, because it really gets into this whole idea. Now we're changing... We're kind of... Next week is going to be more about this idea of service and being of other service to not only alcoholics, but people outside the rooms. And that starts off step 9 for me. So that's all I got. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you.